this morning, if you would turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. So, I fancy myself quite the artist, and I drew a couple of pictures this week. And that is all complete sarcasm. But I did draw some pictures. Eric, if you'd pull up the first picture, please. Thank you. No, do the other one. I got them. There we go. All right. I think that's impressive to begin with. But I showed my preacher friends what I was doing, and they all mocked me, as I expected. But I wanted to just do a simple little literal illustration. You know, preachers are always giving illustrations. That was a bad little pun on illustration. But anyways, I want to encourage us to kind of understand Scripture in a way that maybe runs contradictory to the popular level thinking. One of the ways in which we approach God is through what's modeled here in this incredible picture, that our obedience controls our blessing. There's a way of reading through the Bible in which you get a sense that our obedience, when we obey, God blesses. And it's easy to pick up on because you see it all the time. It's sort of constantly there, this sort of obedience and blessing, and that the two are paired up. What ends up happening is we think as people that we sort of control God. God is the triangle because of the Trinity. That's why I went that direction. In between there, I'm sure you can tell, but it's a marionette. And so we think as we obey, we control God, and subsequently we get God's blessing. And that's the sort of sense that we get. And maybe that's how you function. Maybe that's how you go about your life with God, that I need to obey him if I want to get his blessing. If I disobey him, then I'm sent off to hell and I stink, right? This is how we think about God. And when I read Deuteronomy 30, I get an entirely different picture of obedience and blessing. Not that, you know, when I obey, there is blessing, that's true. But it's the heart behind it. And so I have an illustration that I think totally, you know, nails it. So Eric, if you'd bring up the next one, please. So at the top there, we have God, and he's doing a sort of heart transplant on the little stick figure, and he gives this guy a new heart, and this heart is within him. And then he has this sort of aha moment. He actually understands. He actually has a heart to obey the commandments. You see the commandments there. It's terrific. And then, inspired by understanding, inspired by God giving this new heart, this person now knows how to be a blessing. This person now knows how to care for others. This person has a heart and willingness to obey God, and subsequently, there's a sharing of God's blessing, and there's encouragement, and there's life. This morning is about God giving us a heart for obedience. This morning is about reminding us that God's word is not something that's distant and far away, but it has been given us, and it is close to us, and we have it within our hearts, and we have it within our mouths, that we may be a blessing in this world, that we may obey and be blessed by God. It's so interesting to me that Kevin opened with Matthew 4. I actually wasn't thinking about that as a text this morning, but it totally hits at what's going on in our text this morning. Matthew 4 and the temptation that Jesus faces. Jesus has the word of God on his mouth and in his heart, that he is willing and capable of obeying the commands of God, that when he's tempted to find his strength by turning the stones into bread, he trusts in God, and he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from God. Jesus becomes the fulfillment. In every way that Israel was sort of missing the point, and they were falling short, and they were worshiping other gods, and they were seeking power through worldly means, Jesus fulfills all of Israel's expectations. He fulfills all of the laws and walks faithfully. I hope this morning when we read Deuteronomy 30, a couple of things happen. And one is that you would have a deeper appreciation for Deuteronomy and read it a lot, because it's incredible how much it goes into the New Testament. But really, truly, that this morning you would be encouraged to know that you have the power and capacity with a new heart from Christ to love and obey and seek his kingdom with who you are. That you would be encouraged in your walk this morning. That's my hope. And that you would see that you have a heart given from God. That all of this that Jesus expects of us, this heart of obedience, has been given to you through Christ. So let's pick up in our text. Deuteronomy 30 is, again, written for the Israelites. It's Moses' last message to his people, the Israelites, and he is encouraging them, you are going into the land of promise, the land that I'm giving you, and remember and pass these things on to your children. That was last week's message. Now Moses is challenging them, saying, obey God, listen to his commands, have a heart for God. And here is Deuteronomy 30. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul according to everything I commanded you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. So at the onset, the first three verses, Moses is saying, you guys are going to enter into the promised land and you guys are going to turn from God. But if you will return to him, God will restore you and gather you again. Even though you're scattered, he will gather you together. Then in verse 4, even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you, the Israelites, and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. I'm going to read that verse again. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The most important part of that scripture are the two words, so that. God is giving a new heart to you so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The ability to obey and understand is conditioned upon God acting to give us a heart for obedience. God is doing something in the hearts of his people, Israelites, that they might obey him. God is doing something in the heart of Christians so that we might aspire to and obey and love and seek first Christ and his kingdom. The Lord, verse 7, your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I'm giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in his book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul. The blessings of God are a result of obedience. Obedience is the result of God planting a new heart within you, inspiring you, giving you this sense of awe and wonder, and inspiring your heart to love God and seek him. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Let those words sink in. What Moses is commanding of his people. And you think about what all he's just covered. in all of the law, I personally would feel a little overwhelmed at all of the rules and making sure I'm wearing the right clothing and not doing the wrong things and everything that's going on in the books of the law, the Torah. Moses assures them, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it so that we can obey it. God's word is not some distant truth that they have to ascend to heaven to find it. Or picture yourself, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it so that we may obey it? You're standing on the shorefront and you look at the great expanse of the sea and you wonder, how will we know what the word of God is that we might obey it? And Moses has said, it's not up in heaven and it's not across the sea. Where is it? It's not beyond the sea, so that you will have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it, to proclaim it so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. In fact, it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. What do you choose today? Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Choose life that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, that you may listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At the heart of obedience is a new heart for God that expresses this itself in wanting to listen to the voice of God and draw near to him. It's a heart of obedience that says, God has done something new, and I have this heart within me that I want to seek and pursue him, and I trust and know that there is a life filled with blessing. At the heart of disobedience is a heart that has turned from God, that says, I will worship these other gods. At the heart of disobedience is an unwillingness to submit and trust and worship God only. And the scriptures assure us that that life is filled with curse and destruction, that you won't live long in the land that God has promised the Israelites. Moses offers fair warning. If you will have a heart for God, he will bless you and love you, and you can obey him. If you will turn from him and ignore him, you can expect destruction. And Moses says, you have a choice. Will you choose life? Will you choose the pursuit of God and love and obey him? When I think about the heart of disobedience, particularly in the Israelites, it's that they have not only given up the promised land, it's that it's also is that they are going to enter into the worship of other gods, and the demands of those gods will call for greater sacrifice. The gods that are vying for the hearts of the Israelites will not only lead them out of the promised land, but the peace of the promise. There is rest in God. There is strength in God. The story goes that leading up to Deuteronomy 30, Moses brings up the fact that, hey, you all have been wandering in this wilderness all of these years, and have you noticed that your sandals haven't fallen apart? That your clothing is all together? Like, there wasn't an Old Navy down the street. that God has watched over you for 40 years, protecting you, feeding you, caring for all of your needs. And when folks start saying we're going to turn from God, they are not only leading themselves out of a place of blessing, they are leading themselves out of a place of peace, of rest, of strength in God. Kevin asked a great question. How could we do this to Jesus if we sin? And I want to say that to the Israelites. How could you say to God, where have you been? We're going to find another God to worship. At the heart of obedience, when God gives us this new heart, we also get this new sense that God has done something incredible through his son Jesus. Do you have that voice stirring in your heart that reminds you just of how good Jesus is? Of how much he loves you, of how much he's done for you? Do you have that strong sense within you that sort of wells up within you and says, I want to obey not out of obligation, not so that I get this blessing, but I want to obey simply because I love Jesus and I know that what he wants for me is far better than whatever that nagging voice is that says, this will be good for you, this will be better for you, you deserve this. As Christians, we have to cultivate a heart within ourselves that says, I love Jesus more than whatever I want for myself. And that voice is so strong in our heads, and we have to remind ourselves of the goodness of God and his faithfulness. How has God been faithful to you and your story? How has he comforted you and strengthened you? What stories come to mind when I tell you there is no greater name under heaven than Jesus? How has that been true in your walk? I don't know the answer, but I know that there is an answer. Because Jesus is Lord and King, and he loves you, and he's given you a new heart. When I read this story, I can't help but be drawn in by the power of the sense that we don't have to ascend to heaven to know the word of God. And I don't have to cross the sea. That the word of God came and made himself in flesh. And he walked and lived among us. I can't help but have my heart drawn to John 1 and seeing the picture of Christ, the eternal word made flesh among us. God living with us. It's not some distant God who doesn't care about us, but he is drawing us in. The word of God is with us. I can't help but have my heart drawn to Romans 10:10 and 10:9. And just looking at that text this morning, it pours out how much Deuteronomy 30 has influenced Romans 10. If you would turn there, I'd welcome you to. I'm going to read a little chunk of it. Brothers and sisters, Romans 10:1. My heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What does Deuteronomy 30 say? He didn't have Deuteronomy. He didn't have the 30 back then. I added that. But what does the book of Deuteronomy say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. And we do it together in this way. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. How are you blessed? By giving your heart to God, by saying Jesus Christ is Lord, by believing he's been raised from the dead, by knowing these things to be true, not only in your mouth, but deep within your heart, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you choose life? How then can they call on the one they not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I'll make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. All day long he holds his hands out. I can't help but find myself and a mountain of scripture that speaks to the heart of this text. Choosing life, I'm drawn to Colossians 3. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind on Christ, who's seated at the right hand of God. Christ, who is your life, when he's revealed, you will also be revealed with him. Christ is our life. I can't help but be drawn to Ephesians 2, where we're presented with the gospel of God drawing near to all people and welcoming us in. I can't help but be drawn to 2 Corinthians 5:17 that tells us that if you are in Christ Jesus, the old is gone and the new is here. The New Testament looks back on Deuteronomy 30 and they see something happening. Paul unequivocally sees that what has happened in Christ is the planting of a new heart and a people to obey and love and seek God. I don't know where I have necessarily found all of you, my friends, this morning in your walk with God. But I know that I have a desire for each of you, inspired by God's word, that says, would you have a heart for obedience? Would you desire to hear God's voice and to find your life in him? The text says at the end of 30 that it says, now choose life. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you, your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This promise and assurance was for Israel, but I give you great confidence that this, the spirit of this is for Christians as well. That you may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. That word hold fast is the Hebrew word dabak, which actually is first used when Adam and Eve are married, when they cleave to one another. If you're an underlining type, I would underline hold fast. What God is saying, what Moses is preaching is that if you would have this new heart, you are clinging yourself to God. You are devoting yourself to him. you are listening to his voice and you have a willingness to follow wherever he's calling you? Do you obey because you want to control the outcomes and blessings of God? Or do you obey because God has planted a heart in you that beats for Christ, that loves him endlessly, that wants to live in pleasing to him? Friends, this is not God giving you a new heart so that you have a whole pile of guilt. This is a new heart so that you always know the one who can revive it. That when our hearts start to sputter, we can have someone come and shock it and get it back straight. I know that we've disobeyed God. I know that we've turned our back on him. But another story I can't help but turn to that I see in this text is the story of the prodigal son and the father who went out and sought him. God was dealing with a stubborn people. I work in the church, so you can imagine I've dealt a time or two with stubborn people. None of you, I mean in other churches, you know. Yet God, despite our unwillingness to listen and always obey, has made a covenant relationship with us to say, I want to be with you. And when the prodigal son realizes his stupidity, he says, boy, I bet things aren't like this back with my dad. And he returns and he repents and he goes back to his father only to find his father looking for him and running after him. Deuteronomy 30 assures us of this, that no matter where the Israelites are scattered, no matter how mighty the nations are that have scattered them and occupied their land or driven them out, Deuteronomy assures them of this promise, that no matter how far you've gone from me, Israel, I will be your God and I will draw you back together to me. The power of the cross proclaims the same truth, that no matter how far we've gone from him, if we would only simply turn and say, Jesus, we need you, he will lead you back to him. He will welcome you back. Friends, if I can encourage you in any way, it would be this. Let God revive a heart of obedience, that you would listen to your Father in heaven and love him with all of your heart. Will you love God today? Moses proposes that you have a choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. What will be the decision you make today? Heavenly Father, your goodness is ever before us in your word, of a steady, patient, loving Father. God, as we read your word, we see your condemnation of sin. We see your hatred of evil. God, help us to have a heart that looks at evil in the same way you do. God, we often don't look at it in the same way. We often think we can cozy right up to it and think we're all right. God, let us not be complacent in our faith, but give us a heart of obedience, a heart of love for you and for your world. God, your word is not distant from us, but it is on our hearts and on our lips. We don't have to travel a distant sea to know what it means to obey and love. You've given it to us in your word. You've given it to us in your Son, Jesus. You've inspired us through your Spirit, Lord, and have planted the seed of truth and love and hope in our hearts. God, for those who need a heart transplant this morning, we lift them before you. God, that they would find truth and love and choose life in you today. God, may we respond in faith and kindness and love and be encouraged this day to know that in the midst of our disobedience, in the midst of our wandering from you, we can at any moment turn back and find you ready with open arms to love us and care for us. And so, Lord, we pray as a church, we pray for those who are lost. We pray for the lostness in our own hearts and the depths of our hearts, Lord, that need to turn to you. God, we need your love. We want to listen to your voice. Lead your people and help us to walk faithfully with you in everything we do. Lord, give us a heart for obedience. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.